So 2 weeks ago, for those of us who were here and were awake paying attention, we tackled the question of how do I live happily ever after? We looked at it from a God and a man relationship, but we also looked at it from a husband and wife relationship. And we talked about not living by a man's opinion, but by God's standards. We saw that love and submission are two ends of the same street that are supposed to connect. Well, today, we look at what generally follows from a husband and wife relationship, and that is the parent and child relationship. Ephesians 6, 1-4, that Steve already read, I'd like to read again. It says, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that it is applicable for each person in this room, for each age, for whatever life situation we're in. God, I just pray that as I open my mouth to share your words, that it would be yours, words that I've heard. I pray that each of us would take home from this what needs to be said, or what needs to be heard. And I pray that you can help us live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. So what does it take to make a happy home? You know, if you are a fan of old movies like I am, I've already told you I watched them all by myself. Remember Chicken Run? I watched it by myself. Well, here's another movie that I watched by myself. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Anybody recognize this movie? I'm only promoting the old one because that's the only one that I've seen. But if you haven't, if you're not familiar with this movie, there's five kids who all search and eat chocolate. They find a golden ticket, which means they get to go to Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. They get to explore it, and by the time the day's done, they're supposed to go home with a lifetime supply of chocolate. Well, four kids still do not make it. They all have the same problem. They're all selfish. They're all about themselves, and they disappear throughout the show until finally only Charlie's left. And he gets to inherit the chocolate factory and live there happily ever for the rest of his life. Well, one of these four kids is a focus of this message, this part of the message. A girl by the name of Veruca. Her dad works at, and he owns his nut factory, and he has all these employees that are normally shelling out peanuts, and he is having them shell out chocolate bars, trying to go through boxes and boxes of chocolate bars in order to find one of the golden ticket. And she's yelling, Dad, you promised I would be the first day and I would have a golden ticket. And now multiple days have passed. He's shelled out a fortune of money in order to try to find this because his whole goal is to make his child happy. You find that the mom, she gets involved in this and says, you're going to be very unpopular if you don't deliver soon. It's Henry and Henrietta, and his response is, it breaks my heart. I hate to see her unhappy. You know, his accent. And he's like, he's trying everything he can do this. He knows, really, I think, that this is not the right way to go, but he's stuck in this idea that I've got to please my daughter. You're finding Veruca, sweetheart, angel, and I'm trying to do whatever I can do. Well, the next thing that happens is they find a golden ticket. This one worker finds it, and she races upstairs, and she gives the golden ticket to Veruca, who says, look, I have found this golden ticket, and she waves it around as if she did it herself, and she's so proud. Mom, her response is, happiness, that's what counts with children. Happiness and harmony. I'm here to tell you that, you know, kids who are listening, you might say, I know exactly what it's going to take to have happiness in the home. Mom and Dad, you just do whatever I want. I will be a happy camper. This verse we're looking at, children obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Somebody changed it around a little bit and said, parents, obey your children. For this will keep them happy and bring peace to your home. God's word says something slightly different, and it behooves us to hear what is it teaching us as far as how we should raise our children. And it teaches you children how you should respond to mom and dad. So this passage has three commands that combine to make a happy home. Sorry, kids, it's not going to be what you want to hear. First of all, it says, children, obey your parents. I didn't make this up. Now, I do have to point out something that was pointed out to me, is that when Paul wrote this, children, he didn't say, parents, tell your children to make sure they listen to you. Paul is speaking to the children who were in that room, in that letter, it was being read to them as well. So, children who are in this room, please pay attention, because this is specifically for you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, when I was in Washington, I hit the age of 18, which meant I was legally an adult. That meant I was now legally responsible for my own actions. It means I could be tried as an adult. It means I had freedoms that all of a sudden I didn't have the day before when I was 17. Well, all over America, the legal age of an adult is 18, except for if you live in three different states. Does anybody know that? Okay, so if you live in the states of Nebraska or Alabama, you're not an adult until you're 19. So are you an adult, Daisy? You're 19? You're 20, okay, sorry. Well, if you go to the state of Mississippi, Daisy, you are not an adult yet. You have to be 21 to be an adult. So in Montana, your state, at the age of 18, you are considered an adult. Now, according to the standards when Paul wrote, anybody want to take a wild guess at what age you became an adult?
15.
Anybody else?
20.
Okay, so really there was no specific age. It was, you were considered a child until dad passed away. So, Scott, you're still a kid. I'm still a kid, but my dad's a long way away. Up until the day your dad died, he still had control. He still had rights over your life, which could be a good thing or a bad thing. And typically, you grow up, you move out, and you say, I don't want my dad's thumb on me anymore. So when you hear these words, children, obey your parents, we look and say, yes, you 18-year-olds and under, you better pay attention. But when they're hearing this, they're hearing something slightly different. As long as my dad's still alive, I'm supposed to obey my parents. Now, to obey means to be obedient. It means to hear, to yield, to do what I'm told to do. Now, back in those days, this was a difficult thing to do. As a kid, to want to obey, because your dad had the right to sell you off as a slave. You better make sure you mind your P's and Q's. Your dad could chain you up and work you like you're a slave. Your dad even had the right to inflict the death penalty. Now, Paul's writing to the extreme, you know, because the societal pressure kind of kept people from going to that extent where a dad was actually going to inflict the death penalty. But if he did, it was well within his rights. And Paul is writing these things to these kids to make sure that they obey their parents. And hopefully, the people that he's writing to wouldn't do this. But you know, some traditions don't change overnight. You get raised up in a certain way of life, it can carry on through generations, even if it's not correct, until you finally break that chain and make your new one. Okay, someone told me that this last week. I thought that was brilliant. You break the chain of what your past was, and you start building another chain. But for these kids, it was difficult. These kids had no rights. They could be left in a Roman forum, which was a place of public meeting. You know, I don't want Noah anymore. I'm going to leave him in this public place, and whoever wanted to come by and take a look at him. Chances are they would feed him, and then they would sell him off as a slave. But that's how it was as a kid. You had no rights. It was a tough thing to be. If you were sick, you might be just bumped off so that you didn't infect the rest of the herd. And it was just a natural part of life. Now, if I'm a kid in that situation, I'm scared like this. I'm going to listen to Dad. I don't want to die. I don't want to be a slave. I want my freedom, right? But Paul isn't trying to just say, make your life better, kids, and say, if you just pay attention to Mom and Dad, life will be good. Paul's ideas is what you see here, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He's saying, kids, obey your parents because you love the Lord. Lord. It is the right thing to do. Mom and dad may not be worthy of your respect and of your obedience, but because you love the Lord, the right thing for you to do is to obey. Now, if you kids, any kid who wants to come up here that's paying attention can have some candy. Okay, I'm not going to ask you any question. I just want you to come up here, okay? It's right there. All right, so kids, if you like your mom and dad, you're supposed to obey them. If you don't like your mom and dad, you're supposed to obey them. If they're nice, you're supposed to obey them. If they're mean, if they're ornery, or if they're lovable, you're supposed to obey them, right? Okay, just one. Now, obviously, this is, as long as it doesn't go against Scripture. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we must obey God rather than men. So now you guys know who the kids are, right? We got a couple that are not kids anymore or something, but we know who the kids are. So kids, you've got some little kid in your system that'll hopefully keep carrying on through all this, but you're supposed to obey. So children, under the age of 18, because that's where we're at today, you are an adult up until your 18th birthday, you are supposed to obey your kids. Now, I bet if you were to ask the kids for a piece of candy, do you always like to obey your parents? They would say, no way. My kid won't even tell you that they like to obey me. I'm the nicest dad they've got. And they don't even want to obey me. What, Caleb?
You said you had to obey your kids.
No, I don't obey my kids.
No. That's what you said.
Okay. My kids do not want to obey me all the time. And I guarantee you, kids, you do not want to obey your parents all the time. But you know what, kids? I got a secret for you. You know, your parents were kids once too. And they grew out of those shoes just like you will. At some point, you will reach a higher status where you will be an adult. So when your parents tell you to obey, God's telling you to obey. Whether you like it or not, you need to obey. Kids, listen. You're not supposed to whine when your mom and dad tell you to do something. You are not supposed to complain. You are not supposed to make excuses. You are not supposed to argue. You are just supposed to do it. You need to do it like this. Jesus is with his disciples out on the boat. And it's rocking and waving. And Jesus is sleeping like he's on a waterbed. It's just perfect for him. The disciples get afraid. They go down and say, Jesus, don't you care we're going to drown? And so Jesus gets up and he rebukes the wind and the waves. And the disciple says, look, even the winds obey him. The waves didn't complain. They didn't keep doing it anyway. They didn't fight. They went calm. When Abraham was told to leave and go where God was calling him to go to the promised land, and you don't read that he whined and he complained, he just did it. When Jesus is casting out demons, there's this little convulsion, but they do it, right? So this is a picture of how you as kids need to obey. You just say, okay, I'm going to do this because this is the right thing to do. So get with your parents, go home and put this into practice, and they say, clean your room. Guess what you're going to do? Happily clean your room. When they say, do your chores, what are you going to do? Happily do my chores. When they say, do your homework, I'm going to happily do my homework. Okay, so this is a big reminder to you kids. Okay, so relax. We're going to get to your parents. But for right now, kids, just know you need to obey because that's what God says you need to do. I would say, parents, just a little tidbit for you as you're raising your kids, is back up your spouse. If mom says, so-and-so, do this, dad, you might have to come along and say, make sure that they do that. Mom, you back up your dad. Your kids need to see you working together. They don't need to be putting mom against dad and dad against mom in order to get what they want. You are a united front to raise your children. So do it together. And children will obey that as you go forward. Number two, children honor your parents. I know, kids, you're like, wait, we're getting the brunt of this. We have to obey our parents, and now we have to honor our parents. Well, just relax there a second, because this idea of children honoring your parents is not just for up till the age of 18. You age out of obeying your parents, but you never age out of honoring your parents. Ephesians 6:2-3 says, Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. So honor is to show honor or respect, to love and to care for, to bring honor to your parents by the way you live your life. This can be while you're living under your parents' roof, but this can be when you exit your parents' house. Whether you're 7 or 70, if your parents are still alive, you have the opportunity and the responsibility to live a life that honors them as well. It says this is the first commandment with a promise. You go to Exodus 20 and you read about the 10 commandments. This is number 5. So this is the first commandment that has a positive promise. This is one that there's various reasons given why this could be the first with a promise. I'm not going to try to say it. But what you see is there is a promise that it will go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Originally, for the Israelites, they were to, as a group, live in the promised land. And as long as they obeyed God and did what their parents said, they were going to, as a whole, live a long life. It doesn't mean that each individual person was going to, but collectively, as a whole, they were going to live a long life on the earth. And we think about kids and adults, if we are honoring our parents, it is going to go well with us. It is going to be a good thing, even if I don't specifically live to be 100. Generally speaking, that's what works. If you honor your parents, you will be blessed and you will live a long life. So we have to say, children, whether you are 18, whether you're under 18, or whether you're over 18, you are called to honor your parents. And, you know, as long as you still have parents, you know, your parents have been through something you haven't been through. They have been there, they have seen that, they've witnessed this, they've experienced things. And if you honor your parents by listening to them, you can avoid an awful lot. There are so many things that I've heard, that I grew up hearing, and what I experienced, that I'm like, I'm not going there and doing that. My dad did that, my mom knew about that, I'm just going to take their word for it. But some people have to learn the hard way. You know, some kids just say, I don't care what is an experience, but generally speaking, if you listen to mom and dad, they can save you a whole lot of grief. You know, I think about talking to Noah about going to college. You know, I was 35, I think, 36 when I finally got my bachelor's degree. Man, you know how easy that would have been if I was Daisy's age, you know, almost 21 and did that before I got married? How much easier it would have been instead of trying to work 2 jobs and have a young family and go to school? Well, that's just a simple example, and no one gets to make his own choice, but had I listened to somebody telling me that, I could have saved myself a whole lot of grief. So kids, even if you don't agree with your parents, listen to them. There's a lot of valuable truth that they have to offer you. Even if you don't think it, believe it, because they've been through life, and God is calling you to do that. So children, if you're under the age of 18, obey your parents. Don't make it hard on them. Just do what you are told. Children, if you are over 18 or under 18, make sure that you are honoring your parents because that's what God has called us to do. And he says you will be blessed if you do that. Now we get to the parents part. We're just going to skim over this, okay? Just going to skim over this. Children or parents, you need to raise your children well. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Parents, do you know why you need to train your children well? Because they pick your nursing home. Right? They give you grandkids. All sorts of stuff like that. It is important that you treat them well. That's not biblical, but you know it's true. I'm not sure who told me that. I would love to give them credit to that. But this is, you know, being a parent is an awesome responsibility. It's astronomically huge. And he's saying to fathers, first of all, do not exasperate your children. We look and we say, well, this can mean, first of all, it means fathers. You know, those male in the home, God is looking to you and giving you a great responsibility to raise your family, to be the leader of your home. but God is also calling you as parents to be the leaders of your home. As you as a husband and wife, mother, father, teen, to do that. Not every house and every around Plevna or Baker has a a father in the home. So guess what mom does? She puts on the tie. She plays the dad. She plays the mother and the father. And so this is parents, whether it's just the dad, whether it's just the mom, or as a nice God-determined team, we need to raise our children well, which is not always easy to do. You know, it's real easy to be the sperm donor, okay, in a relationship and say, wow, I'm the dad of this baby, but not to be there present to raise their kids. And, you know, in that day, dads had, like I've already pointed out, they had this major responsibility, they had this major power in order to determine the outcome of their kids' lives. Okay, even more than we have today. You know, back in those days, mom got pregnant, she had a baby, you know, the dad's, kind of like how they did in the movies where the dad's in the waiting room, they're somewhere else. They're like, I don't want to listen to that, I don't want to hear all that pain, all that stuff, and just tell me when it's over. Well, dad's going to be sitting somewhere else, and they're going to bring the baby and set the baby at his feet. If dad picks up the baby and says, wow, Junior, I'm going to keep this baby, the baby got to live. But if dad says, he gets up and walks away, guess what happens to the baby? The baby's disposed of. The baby can go, can be sold as a slave, it can be given away, it can die, it doesn't even matter. And this is what that dad's power was like. And it says, fathers, use your power well. Use your influence well. He says, do not have a negative impact on your kids. He says, do not exasperate them. Do not provoke. Do not arouse to anger or wrath. You know, sometimes it's dads like to keep their kids underneath their thumb. I don't want my kid to challenge me. I don't want him to grow up. I don't want him to have any kind of, I don't want anything out of this kid. Once he moves out, that's fine. But I want to keep him here because I am the king of my castle, and I am dad, and he's just going to have to know it. And that's, you know, dads know how to poke. Dads know how to prod. Dads know how to wheedle and needle their kids in order to irritate them. You know, you think about back in that day, they probably did that a lot. I read how they didn't even join in with their kids while they're laughing. They didn't care about their kids. They stayed away. They neglected them. They ignored their kids. And that's going to hurt a kid. That's going to bother a kid. And we have homes around America where people do the same thing. You know, somewhere that the dad or the mom are finding fault with everything the kid does. You got an A minus? Well, you didn't get an A? You know, you made 3 out of 4 free throws? You didn't make 4 out of 4? You know, things like that are pretty lame examples, but they find fault in everything. Yes, you could do better. They take their frustration out of them. That's going to hurt a kid. That's going to bother a kid. If you take out your frustration at them, they have to get a bad day at the office, you come home and you, like, just start screaming and getting mad at them. You blame them for something going wrong. You neglect them. You ignore them. You're a hypocrite. You say one thing and you don't do it. You say don't do it and you do. You know, that's those kinds of things a kid sees. A kid really does learn what they live. If they see these kinds of things, they're going to be like that. They're going to pass it on. And so you have a tremendous responsibility. You have a tremendous amount of power. I'm looking at myself too. Even if you were not here. I mean, I practiced yesterday talking to myself and whacking myself and saying, Josh, make sure that you are not provoking, that you are not arousing, that you are not taking out your frustrations out on your kids. Instead of that negative response, that negative impact, we are called to have a positive impact. It says, instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, training kids is always a good thing to do. You know, we'll train our kids to be helpful around the house, or I'm going to say around the ranch, or around have a good work ethic, right? I want to make sure my kid's not known for being a lazy kid. So I'm going to train them to work hard. Wherever they go, they are a hard worker. I'm going to make sure that they do that. We're willing to train our kids for skills, for basketball, for a sport. You know, if my kid's going to be playing basketball, I want him to do good. I will work with him so he understands the plays. I'm going to train my kid, you know, if he gets a flat tire, do I want him to call me? No. I don't want him to call me. I'll call Scott, but I don't want him to call me to change the flat tire. You do it yourself. So I will train my kid and say, you do this. You need to do this. When you go out and live on your own, here's how you balance your budget. Here's how to fill out a checkbook. All those life skills, we will train them in those areas so they are good, responsible adults. You know, but he said, train them with the instruction of the Lord. Now, I'm not looking at you guys and dogging on you and saying, you're this person. But, you know, typically around the American churches, men think of this. And women, they've got it nailed. They're the ones who make sure that they get their kids to church. They're the ones who talk about the spiritual matters in the home. They're the ones who teach and train their children in the ways of the Lord. That's just the way it is around America, probably around the world, or generally it's the moms who do this extremely well, but it's the guys who stink at this and need to work on it. He's saying, dads, we've got to train and instruct our kids in the ways of the Lord. Now, I want to say, you know, don't please dads and moms. Do not rely on your Awana teacher to train up your kids in the ways of the Lord. Yeah, you're getting in Awana verse. That's a supplement. Please do not rely on your Sunday school teacher to train your kid up in the ways of the Lord. And certainly do not rely on me to do that. You know, in churches around America, even David Jeremiah, you get the same thing. There are people in churches who are sleeping. There are people in churches who are disengaged. There are people in church who are bored. They're doing anything else besides listening. And that might be your kids. So don't look at me and say, well, they went to church and they heard a message, so we've got it covered. That's not good enough. You're going to have a greater influence on your kids than I will. You know, I might keep them awake and say, well, we did our duty for the day, but it's you as parents that are supposed to and have the opportunity to have that long-lasting training and impact in their lives. So maybe when you go home, say, hey, what did the preacher talk about today? What are you reading about in the Bible? You know, here's a little bit of honesty for you, okay? You can kick me out the door if you want to after this, but I always make sure my kids do their devotions. Ever since we were little, I'd say, hey, read your Bible. And we would discuss a little bit of what they read. But I have been a terrible dad when it comes to doing family devotions. They'll read every single morning at the table, and we'll discuss things when I get home in the afternoon. So you know what I'm doing this week? I said, okay, I'm getting out the daily bread, and every night we're going to do this. We are going to read this, we are going to discuss this, and we are going to pray together. That's shameful of me to say. I'm the pastor saying, I struggle with this, but I'm telling you, dad, we have a responsibility. I'm getting kicked in the rear end over this. We talk about biblical things, but as far as saying, hey, let's do a devotion together, I'm trying again. I'm repenting. I'm trying to go the opposite way and say, from this point on, I'm going to do better. Feel free to ask me. Say, hey, in a week, Josh, are you guys still doing that? Training and instructing. I want my kids, I want them to go to church every Sunday when they move out. I want them to read their Bible on their own. When they have families of their own, I want them to do devotion with them. I grew up doing that, but you know what? I kind of got away from that. So we have to train and instruct our kids in the ways of the Lord. What does that mean? That means, first of all, we have to know, what does the Bible say? What does Scripture say? We all have a Bible. There's one in the pew. We have 14 of them at home. We all have it. We have a great Sunday school class. We have to know what it is. You know, if we're having a conversation with our kid, I mean, the opportunity comes up to discuss something, we've got to be able to say, this is what Scripture says. So we've got to know. Remember, we talked about dancing in church a couple weeks ago. I can easily throw out my opinion, but is that what God's Word says, in my opinion? No. I've got to know, what does the Bible say in order to train and instruct my kids in the ways of the Lord? The second thing I've got to do is I've got to live it out. Nobody likes it like the hypocrite. Your kids do not like a hypocrite. If you say it, you better do it. If you say don't do it, you better not be doing it. So we find in God's Word the conclusion or the formula for a happy marriage. Love and submission, the two-way street, we find the formula for a happy home. It involves children obeying their parents, doing what they say to do. Even if you don't like it, it's just for a time. Because you love Jesus, obey your parents. It involves each of us honoring our parents, whether we are living in the home or we are outside the home. And it involves parents who are leading and training their children in the way of the Lord. I've admitted it. I have work to do. I don't know about you. I did not plan to say that. That's very embarrassing for me to say, but I'm saying it. I have work to do, so I'm going to do it. And if you say, you know what, I don't have any work to do because I'm not married, I don't have kids, my parents have already passed on, then I want to ask you to pray for those of us in this church who do have work to do, because we are training and we are raising up the next generation. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you, God, for your forgiveness. I thank you, God, that you give us new mercies every single day. God, I even know where I failed as a dad, and I just pray that you help me to do a better job as a parent. I know, God, it's not easy for kids to always listen and obey their parents because they have their own minds and their own wills and what they want to do. So please help them to want to listen and help each of us to honor our parents. And let it all be because we love you, Jesus. Let's live our lives to honor you because we love you. And let's God, please help us to do this better than we've ever done this before. I thank you, God, for your forgiveness and for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.